Let's continue in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. Remember last time we went through this scripture a little bit, verse 8. But I said that was part 1. I'm going to go on part 2. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8. And Ephesians 3:8 says, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I have already done the first part last week, most of it, but I just want to go through a little bit. But I want to really focus today on the unsearchable riches of Christ. Have you ever wondered what Apostle Paul is talking about here? Have you ever wondered about the unsearchable riches of Christ? Have you ever thought about it? Do you know what it is? Is it important? And these are the things that, I mean, if it is unsearchable riches of Christ, I'll go for it. Now, the first one is here, Paul is talking here, he's the least of the saints, and the grace was given that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he is the least among the saints. And here we see his ministry. Here we see Paul's evangelism. And let me give some ingredients of a true servant of God using this scripture. And I'm not going to go through all the ingredients one by one. As I said, I want to really focus on the unsearchable riches of Christ. The first ingredient of a true servant of God is the grace of God. The second is humility. And the third is knowledge. And the fourth is boldness. This goes with evangelism as a servant of God. Now, I'm going to show this as an example through Apostle Paul himself. Now, of course, we know that Apostle Paul was very prideful in his fallen nature. And he had a zeal for religion, yet he persecuted the church. He was full of pride, and his prideful journey ended one day when the Lord spoke to him from heaven. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 9 verse 4, you will see what I'm talking here. Acts chapter 9, 4. Chapter 9 verse 4, starting from verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" And here, when God speaks to the fallen nature of man, to the wicked man, the pride of man, that man is awakened by the word of God. And that man who was dead becomes alive. Just like how Jesus spoke to Lazarus, "Come forth, Lazarus." He was dead. Lazarus came forth. And this is the transition, the change of Paul. Now see verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" And here we see the grace of God for a hell-bound sinner who persecuted the church, but God in his mercy and grace, he chose Paul. That's amazing. So salvation is of God according to his sovereign power. Paul did not choose God, but God chose Paul. This was the unmerited favor of God. So you will realize how majestic and how great God is and how sinful you are, and you can praise God for salvation. That's number one. The grace of God is so important in the ministry. Number two, humility. You can see in the scripture, as Paul said, who I am less than the least of all the saints. And if you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, goes along with that, 1 Corinthians 15:9. I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, as you see, the result of grace is what? Humility. That's the result of grace. This is a sign of the new birth. Once you are born again, the mind is illuminated. The will of man is renewed. His affections are changed, and the conscience is renewed. We see God as our King, Lord, and Savior, and we see us as just mere creatures. Now we bow down to Him, we acknowledge Him, and worship Him, and serve Him. That's humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There you go. Grace and humility goes together. Now, when God chose the apostles, He did not choose the most wisest, the brightest, and the most educated. Maybe the world would do that. But Lord gave these, God chose poor fishermen, weak men, who are weak vessels, but yet that God's power will be known through these weak vessels. So it's not the human power that's going to be exalted, but the power of God. And God gave them the knowledge and the boldness. They were not even schooled. Now, turn with me to Acts 4:13. The second part of the ingredients that I'm going to show you is knowledge and boldness. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. They were unschooled men, but they were marveled, amazed to see the knowledge that they had. And they noticed they were with Jesus. Now, that really goes along with the second part of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Ephesians 3, 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Apostle Paul here preached to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, as I said, what is it? Well, have you ever thought about the unsearchable riches of Christ? Now, in the gospel, you will find the doctrines of Christ. And in these doctrines, you will see the unsearchable riches of Christ that the church should be preaching and teaching. But today, there's a gospel of amusement and entertainment gospel. And And there's a new age type of a gospel that is spreading across the country and across the world, which is called the seeker-friendly church. In these churches, you will find where sinners can come and be very comfortable and enjoy entertainment type of gospel instead of conviction of sin and turning to Christ in true repentance. Jude 3 talks about this. While I was diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which you once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept unnoticed for long ago, were marked out of the condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what happened here, we cannot add amusement to the gospel or anything to the gospel because Christ is all in all. We cannot add anything. As Jude says, these teachers, they crept in, they slipped into the church, and they came without warning, and like a snake, they came in, and they changed the grace of God to sin. That's what they did. Now, it's so important that we need to teach and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Only a born-again Christian can understand the riches of Christ. Because the born-again Christian will understand that he or she was naked, full of poverty, poor, miserable, wicked. When you understand that, you know, you understand that you are clothed with the richness of Christ now. Remember, maybe there are some rich Christians may say, I'm not poor, I'm not naked, I'm pretty rich and wealthy, I got everything what I need, I don't need anything. I'm blessed. But listen to the words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Revelation 3:17 said, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me what? Gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. White garments that you may be clothed that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As a hymn that says, the word says, oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, wealth that can never be told, riches of exhaustless of mercy and grace, precious, more precious than gold. Now let me tell you, the Christians are ridiculed, they are despised, they are mocked. And they may be poor in this world. But our Lord is eternal. He is rich. He owns the universe. He is rich. Why? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And listen to this. We are His children. I'm not preaching like Fred Price now, remember. Okay? We are His children. We are spiritually rich. Although we are poor on this earth, we have all the riches in Jesus Christ as we are heaven bound. Now, especially in this country, as we are living in this very comfortable nation, we always ask for more and more and more. We are never satisfied, never content. We always ask for another raise, another raise, and another raise. We are never satisfied. The reason is we spend more and more and more. We buy more and more and more. We live where we cannot afford in luxury. We want more and more. That's the nature of man. That's this flesh. Always want something more and more and more. So when you spend more and more, this is basic economics. When you spend more and more and more, you need more and more. You get into trouble with credit cards and so forth. So easy to charge that thing. But when the bill comes, it accumulates, right? So here we see the things of this world, we get so caught up with it. It's very subtle. It's so deceiving, I'll tell you. So deceptive. But let me tell you how we need to cry out if, you know, instead of asking for more and more and more of these physical things, how we need to ask more and more for the unsearchable riches of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow! You are asking for more and more and more here. I tell you, here something really baffles our mind is, no eye has ever seen, nor ear has ever heard, nor entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for you, the Christian, for those who love Him. Wow. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 5. These are riches of Christ, unsearchable riches of Christ. James chapter 2, verse 5. My beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? He promised to those who love Him. In both scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and James 2:5 has something very common. Both, the 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, God has prepared for them that love Him. James 2:5 says, which He had promised to them that love Him. Aha, you're getting me now. We are never satisfied. We want more and more and more. That means we tend to love this world more and more and more. When you tend to love the things of this world more and more and more, the love of God will become less and less and less. That's something we need to our minds. Satan doesn't want to tell this. You know, the Spirit of God wants to tell this through the Word of God. So that's why it's so important. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11:33. Tell you, we learn the hard way, right? Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways passing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid for him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, Apostle Paul preached to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Christ was poor on this earth. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He was poor. But what he's talking is, Christ was rich spiritually. Christ is rich. You know why Christ is rich? He was poor as a man here. But Christ is rich as God. In His deity, He is divine. And we need to praise the deity of Christ. And many cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe the deity of Christ. Christ is rich in His person. Christ is rich in His character. Christ is rich in His teachings. Christ is rich in His example. We will talk of Christ's richness. We can talk the richness of Christ for the rest of our lives, until we die. The Bible speaks of the richness of God from the book of Genesis all the way through until the end of the world. Till Christ comes, we will be still speaking the richness of Christ. And Christ alone. Christ is rich because he is sinless. When He came as a man, He was sinless. He is rich because He was perfect. He is rich because He was blameless. He is rich because He is the truth. There are all kinds of knowledge of truths in the world, and you can learn this truth by educating yourself. But there's only one truth in regard to salvation. All the other truths are outside of your soul. But the real truth that can change your heart and make a new person is the truth that comes by Christ's words alone. Jesus said, as you know the scripture, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father by me. All other knowledge is on this earth, but the knowledge of Christ excels above this earth, because that came from heaven. Because it's the divine truth. It's the treasure of God. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, listen to this scripture, Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Wow. You talk about the things of the world, Apostle Paul said, I count everything as a loss. Those are rubbish to me when you compare to the excellencies of Christ. The truths of Christ, the precious of Christ, the richness of Christ. Wow. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no heart can ever understand what God has prepared for those whom He loves. Wow. I'll tell you, Christ is the manna, the bread, and the water for the soul. All spiritual things come from Christ. Ephesians chapter 1:3, we studied that. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Always Christ's word is there. Nothing cannot come in the Bible without Christ. You will see this as we go more and more. Christ is the happiness for our soul. He is the physician who can heal when we are spiritually wounded. He is our friend who comforts us when we are in need. He is the ark who supports us. He is the rock where we can stand. He is our security. Wow, these are treasures of Christ. Christ is the only ladder between earth and heaven, as He is the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the hidden, all the hidden treasures and the knowledge and wisdom is found in Christ. But I'll tell you, the book of Isaiah says when you look at Christ, he wasn't handsome. He wasn't good looking. But the treasures of Christ, wow, the person, the character, who he is and what he's taught. And the people said, we have never seen anybody talking like this. It's the truth. Everything that comes from his mouth is the truth and nothing but the truth. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians 2, 3. Colossians 2, 3. Starting from verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the knowledge of God. He is the understanding of God. Christ is the truth of God. And he is the faithful witness. The heavens and the earth cannot exist, and no human cannot exist without Christ. The heaven and earth cannot exist without Christ, and we cannot exist without Christ. I'll tell you, there's no heaven without Christ. There is no life without Christ. There is no God without Christ. There is no peace, true peace, without Christ. There is no reconciliation without Christ. There is no true faith without Christ. There is no forgiveness without Christ. There is no justification without Christ. There is no sanctification without Christ. There is no true love without Christ. There is no mercy without Christ. There is no grace without Christ. There is no salvation without Christ. There is no election without Christ. There is no church without Christ. There is no Christianity without Christ. Christ alone is the infinite treasure of God. Remember that. Jesus said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. Are you rejoicing when you get into the Word of God? See Christ? Remember Simon. This man, Holy Spirit told this man that he will never die until he sees Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30, we see. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30. 2:30. Starting from verse 29, says here, once he saw the little baby, the infant, Christ, he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. What he's saying is, Lord, now I can die. Then he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Wow. These people were looking for the Messiah. Even the angels, 1 Peter talks about angels who are looking to see how the salvation came to us. Wow. And these people were looking for the Messiah. Remember, in Bartimaeus, the blind man, when Christ was going to Jerusalem, and he cried out and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And these people were looking, Son of Mel's, David, have mercy upon me. Remember, in the book of Luke, chapter 7, we see a woman a sinful, wicked woman. They say probably she was a prostitute who came. She had the most expensive perfume. And she poured that on the feet of Jesus. That's the only treasure she had, the most expensive. And she started weeping and kissing the feet of Jesus, wiping with her hair. Wow. Mary Magdalene. There are so many instances. Mary Magdalene in the book of John, chapter 20, was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene, John, the book of John, chapter 20. When she knew that Jesus was crucified and he was buried, and here we see in verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in the white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." I'll tell you, Mary's only treasure of Mary's was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only portion that she had, and that she loved him so much. And she went to the tomb and she was crying. She said, "They have taken away my Lord." And now, when she has said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to a woman, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she said to him, "This is early morning, it was dark." She thought he was a gardener. "And sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to him, "Mary." Wow. And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which says teacher. Mary. When Jesus said Mary, she understood at once, that's it. I know him. I spent time with him. I know his voice. Jesus said in the book of John, "My sheep will hear my voice, and I know them." Do you know him? Do you know the voice of Jesus? And after she said in verse 17, she got so excited. The first thing she did was she clung to him. "Do not cling to me," Jesus said. "I had not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary did not have a God before. Now, Jesus said, "I am ascending to your God." Wow. Tell you, when you are in trouble, God hears our prayers only in Christ. Christ always is there to intercede for us. Christians, turn your eyes upon the Lord. Look to Jesus, just how Mary was looking to Jesus. Just how Bartimaeus was looking to Jesus. Just how Abraham was looking to Jesus. Just like how that woman who had perfume was looking for Jesus. Look to Jesus. Do not gaze upon the toys on this world. The world did not die for you. The world cannot forgive you. The world cannot reconcile you to God. The world is against Christ. Only Christ is at the bosom of the Father. It is Christ who came down from heaven. It is Christ who paid the penalty for sin. It is Christ who took the wrath of God away for the believer. It is Christ who can save the soul. It is the blood of Christ that can wash our sins. And it is Christ and Christ is all in all. The sinner is changed to a saint, not through education, but in Christ. An unholy man becomes holy in Christ. A hell-bound man can change his direction and he can change the course in Christ to go to heaven. The anger, the quarrels, the fights can cease in Christ. The drug addict stops taking drugs in Christ. The thief stops stealing in Christ. The murderer drops the gun in Christ. The prostitute and adulteress stop fornicating in Christ. The liar stop lying in Christ. The homosexual stop unnatural behavior in Christ. The drunkard stop drinking in Christ. The pleasure seekers stop finding pleasures but look for pleasures in Christ. Now let me tell you, when we go to the library, to find knowledge. The bigger the library, the bigger the knowledge there is. And we read books because we need knowledge. But think of Christ, who He is above all. Think of Christ, who created the heavens, the earth. But yet, with all the greatness of Christ, greatness that He possesses, He is the treasures of God, He is the treasures that He is all the wisdom and the knowledge and everything is in Him. Yet, Christ washed the feet of the disciples. With all the knowledge He has, with all the wisdom He has, He washed the feet of the disciples. That is the slave's job. Wow, His knowledge and wisdom is infinite. That's why I say Christ, not only his richness is shown, not only in His word, but also by His example. His knowledge and wisdom is infinite, but also when He was on His earth, there was, you know, written books, and there, if the apostles wrote everything what Christ did, this whole earth is not enough to fill the books of what Christ did. John chapter 21, verse 25. John 21, 25. Just imagine you are coming to church in a huge truck of books. But God put everything in a nutshell. John chapter 21, 25. Apostle John says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. There will be no more libraries. There will be all the books of Christ. Imagine. That's why He is called, this is the richness of Christ. You know, there are hundreds of religions in the world, or even so many. When it comes to salvation, all the other religions differ from Christianity. All the other religions believe in salvation. All the other religions believe salvation is by doing something. Only in Christianity, salvation is the finished work of Christ. That's the only difference. When you take all the other religions, including Jehovah's Witnesses, cults, the Mormons, and everybody else, and only in true Christianity, the only difference is all the other religions They got to do something to go to heaven. They had to do something to go to heaven. And if you're doing something to go to heaven, where is the richness of Christ then? No. You don't. Everything is done in Christianity. Only in Christianity, salvation is the finished work of Christ. He is the beginner and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Son of God, and in Christ, we become the sons of God. Let me close with this scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You cannot measure. I'll tell you, reading the Bible, you will never finish learning, reading the Bible and say, now I read the Bible, I know everything. Never. Ever. You will learn the same scriptures over and over again. You will see how deep, how vast, how in depth they are. They are infinite. So in Christ we grow. In Christ we love. And in Christ we give glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord.